Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, was down between the benches last night, and he joins us now courtesy of the Maple Toyota Hotline. Obviously, a much better effort from the Leafs last night. I mean, did you pick up on that pretty quickly that they had shown up to play last night?
About two shifts.
Yeah.
It's about what it took. Like, I guess I thought more than once last night when I was watching, because I had talked like in the pregame show, and I think when I was with you guys yesterday, just like it didn't even matter about X's and O's to me. It was yesterday. It was about like, do they have this will, or are they just going to keep talking about it? And then I watch it, and my first thought was, well, where the hell has this been? Like, that looked unlike most every game that they play. And a couple of days ago, right, O went on his rant there, and like all he was asking, I think, was like, just like, give a damn. Like, just play. And they were, I think that's their best game of the year last night.
I totally agree. I love their
game
last night.
Man, they were on it. They were as physical as they're going to be, because they're not going to be super physical. But, like, they won pucks that they should win. They won some that they, probably shouldn't have won.
Or haven't. Like
or haven't, right. And, like, I just thought it was, really a terrific game for them yesterday.
Ray, the one thing I took away from it, outside of the effort level, which, I was happy for them, but, you don't give them that.
It's supposed to happen.
They're supposed to do that, but they certainly did it last night. Was I didn't notice the circle back. I didn't notice kind of, I call it the Harlem Globetrotter hockey a little bit. Like, when they're on their game.
More straight lines.
Yeah, to me there was more straight lines, and they were moving the puck with a purpose. That to me looked like a little bit tighter system and a little bit more urgency in their resolve, where in their games previous, it was, I'm going to try this high-risk play. If it doesn't work out, okay, we'll have somebody kind of mask it. But to me, that's the way they've got to play systematically, a lot better than we've seen in previous games. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I wonder, guys, if like something got lost in the translation of, we don't have to have the shackles of Babcock system, and now this is this wide open system, and isn't this great? And you're right, pretty soon there's like, you can try any play you want. And that, we're seeing these behind the back 30 foot passes, and man, they're awesome when they work, but pretty soon they don't work because the other teams are pretty good too. And they try pretty hard too. And they start getting back into position, and a few of these passes go wonky, and pretty soon you're spending more time in your zone and your goalie's not great, and it kind of like just cascades and gets worse and worse and worse. And last night there was the only guy I remember turning backwards was Engvall. He was the only guy that I remember doing it, and I was like, and it actually looked odd. Like, it looked funny when he did it, like not right. And it's not to say it's not right, and I do like sometimes when they get up to the red line and they know they're going to change and the other team's changing, and so instead of just giving it away, they circle back and hold it. Like, that's different. Like, last night looked like a game you play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They out Pittsburgh last night.
Ray, the question.
Go ahead. Oh.
The question is, like, what do you think, like, either happened in the locker room, they had the coming to Jesus meeting, or like why take so long? What like, they had Mike Babcock behind the bench, now Sheldon Keefe, who I think is a good coach. I like a lot of his ideas and things that he wants to, the way he wants to deal with the players, but why take 61 games or whatever the hell it's taken to get to that?
The only answer I can come up with right now is, like, don't you think sometimes when we were playing we think we know better?
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, yeah, that's fine. I'm hearing you, but this is going to work. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you get booted in the ass enough. And I think they were really, well, at least they should have been really embarrassed by the loss in Pittsburgh. Like, it wasn't just that they lost. I mean, that was embarrassing, the way that they lost.
And coming off the Buffalo loss, too.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty miserable 3 days, and they just got... They get their lunch handed to them, all around them. I'm sure they're all talking about it. They're all hearing what else everybody is saying. And even though they say they don't hear, we know they do, because we all know we would have heard too. And so maybe they're like, okay, let's just grind down here. Let's just play this as they did last night. the real question for me becomes, and I think it's fair, is that's hard to play like that, right? Like, it's not an easy game to play. Can they dial that up game after game after game? It's never going to be perfect. You're not going to win 52 in a row. But can you play that hard all the time? Because they haven't shown us that they can. And if they can, like, that changes your outlook on what this team can be. Because that looked like a team that could play in a playoff series. And I wouldn't have said that before the game.
Yeah, I had an appreciation for their patience level in the first period. I didn't get to see or hear all of it. I was making my way down to the rink. But, you know, they weren't trying to step outside of their boundaries. They weren't trying to win the game in the first period, which I think is an awareness that is necessary. But then once they got on the board, you know, they drew the 5-on-3. They go up 2-0. And then they took advantage of, you know, Pittsburgh's going to cheat. So they cheat, and Kapanen scores on a breakaway. And then Pittsburgh, I think when it was 3-0, was like, I don't know if we're going to battle. Hyman wins a battle, scores 4-0. Like, it really was the kind of opposite of what had happened.
That's what you do to teams. You put them under the gun and say, okay, we got to break away from the structure element, cheat, goal against, then it's game over.
Right. If you don't want to work hard enough, we will, and we'll try to take advantage of it. And the Leafs have been on the wrong side of that far too often.
And, you know, we talked about him a lot in the game yesterday, at least. I know I certainly did, but I thought Muzzin was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one thing to go out there and, you know, like, he seems to be the go-to guy for the media. Like, when they want an honest assessment, they go to Muzzin. And, you know, you put yourself on the line a little bit if you're talking about the stuff he's talking about, you know, commitment and work, and then you've got to go out and play. And I thought, like, right from, I want to say it was his second shift, he hit Hyman with like this really sharp breakout pass up the middle. And I was like, man, that's a great pass. And then he made another one to Malgin in the middle, and they were gone again. And he, you know, and then he scores, and he had a couple of really nice box outs and cycle breaker plays in the defensive zone. I thought that's as good as he's played in a long time.
Yeah, even zipping it up the middle to Kerfoot on that Kapanen goal, that was great. The time it took from going from the far corner to the end of the net, that's transition.
Would you term that coach's porn? Did you see
about Maurice last
night? That was quite a quote from Paul Maurice.
I thought that comment is like blown out of proportion. That's coach porn. Like, that means they really like it. It's good. It's not like
everyone
hears
awesome.
The word porn. It's like somebody farting somewhere in public. Everyone starts giggling. It's like, oh wow. It's like it's a word, porn. Like,
well,
maybe because we say it on this show.
it's a staple on this show for some reason.
Well, it's a word with a definition though.
Right. That's
which
what is it
is. Porn.
It's like, not, I think it's not arbitrary. Like, it is actually definition.
Yeah, it means something.
So I thought Mo's quote, it just
he was talking about Dylan DeMello, right?
Obviously, but it just ties into, you know, Jake Muzzin's game. That would be technically coach porn, correct?
If he took it to another level and said that was Brandy Love video, I respect that. Right. But all he said was porn.
All right, that was too G-rated. And for you, in terms of porn talk.
Oh, wants more. There's always somebody that wants a little more, right? Yeah,
exactly. Always has to be a little bit more. Well, I mean, hey, listen, Winnipeg, you were there calling that game last night, Noodles, and they kind of feel like they got a bit of a flair themselves.
Well, they
right
pushed
now.
Like,
they're
in.
Starting
I mean,
to feel it.
Scheifele hadn't scored in 12 games. He gets a hat trick last night, and, you know, DeMello isn't, you know, he's not Bobby Orr, but he's a very solid piece. And they picked him up for me, I think, pennies on the dollar. It's a third rounder. Third rounders turn into something, potentially, but they also could turn into nothing. So I thought it was a low-impact trade. I don't think, from what I just saw on Dregs' scenario, sounds like Winnipeg's...
Cody Eakin, they're picking
up. Yeah, grabbed Cody Eakin.
Wow, so Vegas traded Cody Eakin. That's what Dregs is tweeting out. Yeah, Dregs, yeah.
Well, I didn't see that. And Eakin's is a Manitoba kid.
Yeah,
right.
I don't like that trade for Vegas. He's a ballsy guy. I like
he
him.
Is. And you
well,
know,
we don't know what's going back the other way. I mean, we.
You know what's ballsy about Cody Eakin? Like, this guy embraces. He has a mullet. He has a mustache.
Red
he's
hair,
got
right?
Flaming red hair. Yeah. And he just loves it.
Yeah, he's Joe Dirt in the NHL.
I love it. Like, this is a guy who, he's built for Winnipeg.
He's the one that got jammed up on the Pavelski high stick, wasn't
he?
It?
Is,
Yeah. And so, last year he had an unbelievable year. This year hasn't been so great for him. He's a good skater. This will, Okay, so it's interesting to me. So I'm just processing this now. So Adam Lowry's been out quite some time with an injury. They've moved Andrew Kopp into the middle because they've had to replace Brian Little, who's out for the rest of the year. Their third line, it all of a sudden has become really productive for them, and I wonder if Eakin fits in there. And so they've Jack Roslovic, who was a first rounder for them a few years ago, is playing with Mason Appleton, who's kind of sprung to life, and Jansen Harkins, who was a second round pick a couple years ago. Maybe Eakin goes there. Like they've got money to spend finally because they got the Bufflin thing off the books. Now they're finally being able to improve their team. I don't know. I seem to be in the minority. When I go on the radio in Winnipeg, it's those guys think I'm crazy, but I think they've had an unreal year given what's happened to them.
Yeah.
And lots of it goes to the goalie. Hellebuck is Vezina Trophy season. I mean, he's been amazing. But now they're right there, right? Like, why can't they make it to the playoffs? You mentioned Scheifele kind of gets off the schneid a bit there last night. They need him to go. And you look at their lines now, and you're like, man, that's pretty good.
They've got 520 goal scorers. That's the most in the NHL. Like, they can score. They just haven't had a defensive core, and they got an elite goaltender. I don't know why, but I've said this. I still believe they are the Leafs West, where you've got, you know, talent up front, a defensive core that has been patchwork. Now, different scenarios, but that's what the Leafs and the Jets look like. And then a goaltender, when they're at the top of their game, is a, you know, Hellebuck's had a better year than Anderson, but when Anderson looks like he did last night, that's a top-tier goaltender. Like, to me, I like the Jets trying to be proactive, and I keep waiting. I wonder if Kyle's going to do something with the Leafs. Like, I still think he needs to add some pieces there to try and shore up his team and even send a message in that room, like, hey, I'm going to help out here. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Kyle still has to do something here.
Well, we've been talking about it for years now, but I know the defense looks completely different when Morgan Riley's back there.
For sure.
But I just don't see going into a playoff series expecting to win with that group right now. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be able to get it done in a playoff series, where if you run into either a really deep, fast team like Tampa or more of a grinded out physical team, like I don't see what they match up to on the blue line. And so, you know, there's still a few days left, and you know, they've got some room now because of the injuries and the long-term injury stuff, but each deal gets more and more interesting, more and more intriguing. And I don't know if you guys do this, but I keep having to refer to the standings. I can't keep track of who's where anymore.
Winnipeg's in now.
Now they're in, and Arizona's out.
And the scary part for Arizona is they played 63. They've played two more than everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know,
they've played five more than Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville's got 59 games, I believe.
Arizona's got 64.
Yeah, 64,
They're going to be behind Nashville more than likely, maybe behind Minnesota. I mean, you never know. Minnesota's got five games in hand, but that's where I got to believe.
Arizona's going to be thinking, like, next week is going to be, we have 10 games left.
If they miss and they traded for Hall, and this is supposed, you know, they acquired Phil and they signed Keller and all that, that would be.
Keller's extension kicks in next year at $7.1 million.
Right.
Yeah. Like they took some swings with some of those young guys. And if those guys don't hit, and they haven't this year, holy crap, they're in real trouble.
They're in trouble. But in terms of the, you know, Winnipeg mentality, Toronto mentality, Toronto, if they get in, we know they're playing one of four teams. They're playing either Boston, Tampa, Pittsburgh, or Washington.
Right.
One of the four of the best five teams in the league. One of them's waiting for you. One of them is. Winnipeg could play Edmonton. They could play Vancouver. They could, you know.
Yeah, it could be Vegas. It could.
They could be. Yeah, they're not.
There's no question the East road this year. No matter where you play, the East road is way harder.
Way tougher. Those big four teams, man.
That's why if I'm anybody in contention in the West, I'm like, I'm loading up, man. Why I might have a trip to the Stanley Cup this year. Why not? It's worth the risk this year.
Really, if you think of it, what happens if you win your early rounds against a team that's could beat you or you could beat them, and then you're like, hey, man, all we got to do is win four games and we're in the finals.
Or what if, like, one of the teams that kind of scared you in the West, they get bounced in the first, and you're like, okay, guys, I did it with Carolina. We beat, I don't know who the hell we beat. it was like Jersey. It's like we beat Jersey. I'm like, now we're playing the Habs. We kind of like the Habs, and then. Then you're like, what the hell? We're in the finals.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, apparently when we beat Pittsburgh, I read this article in 93. We beat Pittsburgh, and I guess the Montreal players were in their hotel. And when David Volek scored in overtime, I guess there was this cheering. They were so happy we won.
Well, they were juggernauts, and I mean that was like that. I was with the Aces with that group, like you were playing, Ray. I was in the stands watching Dale Hunter go to. Was that the time Dale Hunter went to work in the previous series?
Yeah. He didn't know the puck went in.
That's still one of the most egregious hits in the history of the game.
But the greatest.
You're right. Like, Pittsburgh was a juggernaut. That was one of the biggest upsets ever, was it not?
Well, they keep saying that was their best team. And then I remember at one point we had the two rosters lined up on the board, and I was like, look at us. Like, what are we doing in this series? Like their whole roster was you couldn't go 5 feet without running into a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And then there's us knuckleheads. Chris Cuthbert said we were his favorite senior league team. we look like a beer league team. Except, so it's just what O's talking about. Like, if you're in the conference isn't great, and one domino falls, the whole thing opens up. Yeah. In the East, man, like, Boston gets Kasha today. I like him. I think he's a so really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they got a little better, and word is they're not finished. And Tampa's already gone out and gotten Coleman. They might add a depth piece, too. Like, it's not going to get easier for Toronto. And it just isn't.
What did everyone think when Tampa went down to Columbus last year? It's wide open. I thought the league was wide open after that. Because everyone, like, Tampa was winning the cup. Why wouldn't they? They won 62 games last year.
There was just like, okay, who's going to do
this? It was wide open.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that's the scenario. If it's tough when you're a manager on the cusp, and you're sitting there going, like, maybe I get in, and all of a sudden something happens. A domino falls. You look at what's happening out east. If you're a manager in the West, and you're a team that's right in there, like, you don't have to mortgage the future, but to me, I still think you have to add to your group to show the group, like, hey, you know, I'm there. I don't know if that's Edmonton or if it's Calgary or if it's Vegas. Like, Vegas just gave away Eakin for a fourth-rounder. For a fourth-rounder with a conditional third.
That means something's got to be coming.
They got to be doing something else.
Or they're going to move Cody Glass into that spot. He's back healthy now.
Yeah.
And maybe they think Glass can play there, and Belmar they have as well.
Yeah, they've got depth there, and I like Glass. Yeah. You're right, but I mean, that's not young. A king's ransom for Cody Eakin. Like,
so Cheveldayoff in Winnipeg has added Eakin and DeMello for 2/3 and a 1/4.
Not bad.
Right?
No, two potential third. It was a fourth that turns into a third. For
Eakin. It's a conditional pick.
Oh, it's basically just one pick.
Yeah, so basically a fourth that turns into a third if they. Make the playoffs, or they go in a round? I was just reading it on the fly. But basically, let's just say 2/3.
So that pick would be in 2022 because they traded the 21 pick, or that would be in 2021 because they traded the 20 pick for DeMello.
Right.
So there's even more cushion there to that.
Yeah.
Like, these are two good deals. Like for Winnipeg, they've improved.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens over the next 72 hours. And Cody Eakin was not a guy that I mean, he may have been on the trade bait board. I haven't been studying it every single second of the day, but that seemed like it was a kind of off the beaten path type of move, which is probably going to happen more than once. Right, someone else will get traded.
Let's hope they happen Monday.
Yeah,
yes, Monday morning.
I honestly, like, when do you get in here, Ray? Let's just do the show Sunday night and tape it.
Yeah, I think we could probably knock off 90% of that thing and then eat whatever food they've got for us.
Oh, there will be food. That's where I'll be. I'm not on that much. I just eat.
They got to install a speed bump there. There's people just rolling through.
There should be.
How about when you see people you've never seen before, like, wait a minute, you're not even on this show.
No, I like when somebody, I like when Nicole announces the food's there, and then the on-air talent, they go there, and it's all gone. It's like, oh, thanks.
I was the first one to eat last year. They put a spread out, and I was looking around waiting for, because you never want to be the first, and I just said, screw it, I'm going.
Yeah, to hell with this.
I hadn't been on a panel in like 3 hours.
Yeah. Hayes's fingerprints were all over those metal containers.
I got right in there.
Opening them up.
Yeah. I got encouraged. Someone encouraged me to go, and I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll be a leader.
We'll be in Sunday night on Monday morning early. Be on the bus, boys.
All right, buddy. We'll see you then.
Yep, see ya.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN Hockey Analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% of Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland.